If you own a pet, then you know how expensive it can be in just buying food alone. At petco.com/amber, save 10% off and free shipping on all orders $65 or more. Or you can save 10% with no minimum requirement when you visit petco.com/amber10. Visit my website to see the Petco discounts at ambermayshow.com.
It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do it right. Amber May Show is here with topics you like, out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot.
AMBERMAY, that's fly.
Get it right.
AMBERMAY, that's fly.
Time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do it right. Amber May Show is here with topics you like, out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot. It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do it right. Amber May Show is here with topics you like, out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot.
Welcome to the Amber May Show. I am so blessed and excited to have my guest on today, and his name is Father Zachariah. And some may know him on TV, as he had a TV show, and right now he is in a project, and soon to come will be another television show. But in the meantime, I have had the honor of having Father Zachariah on our program, and he has a heart and burden to reach the Muslims for Jesus Christ. Father Zachariah came from Egypt and is a Coptic priest here, and he has seen many things, and also his brother was a martyr. A Christian martyr, as some members of the Islamic faith murdered his brother. So he has personal experience on seeing some of the hateful acts that come from the Islamic community, but also, even more importantly, he wants to reach them for Christ, because just like anyone else, they're lost and need a Savior too. So welcome, Father Zachariah, to the program.
Thank you so much. So happy with you.
I would like you to talk to us a little bit about some of their beliefs. So we have a background on the Islamic faith. And something new I found out I didn't know before was Muhammad, their prophet, was possessed by a devil, a demon, and it's even in the Quran. Yet there's millions of people that follow this man.
It's not in the Quran, but in the Hadith and in his biography.
In his biography, okay.
Yeah. When he said that he was in the cave for the first time, and he said that a creature appeared to him, mm-hmm. and after that, that creature was trying to kill him. He asked him to read. When he said, I can't read, he tried to kill him three times. And after that, he went back home with red eyes, something coming out of his mouth, trembling, and he asked his wife to cover him. And she said to him, what's wrong with you? He said, he confessed and said, I saw a devil or possessed with demons.
Wow.
It's a confession. But she said to him, no, don't worry about that, you are a good man. No, this is an angel, it's not a devil. Then she made a test for him, and then she said, oh, it's an angel.
Yeah, well, we know the test, and the test isn't exactly a very good test. And anyways,
it's a shameful test.
It's a very shameful test, and interesting enough that the people know about this and they still follow him. Something I found out also about the Islamic faith is that they are allowed to lie. And they say they believe in the same God as the Christians and the Jews. The Christians and the Jews were commanded not to lie.
Yes.
So it's very strange that their belief system with the same God so that they can lie. Explain that for us.
Yeah, there is a doctrine of Islam. Muhammad said you can lie when you are in war, and you can lie upon your friends to reconcile them, and you can lie upon your wife to avoid quarreling with her. Yeah. So you are right that the true God does not give any commandment about to lie. That's why I say that God of Muhammad is not the true God. God of Muhammad is Satan, the devil, because Satan is a liar from the beginning.
Even our Bible says that Satan is the father of lies.
The father, yes, of lies.
And he wants to deceive people so that they don't know the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, because Satan wishes everyone to be damned as he is. But Jesus Christ has come for everyone, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him will not die but have everlasting life. So the contrary to, so far from what I'm hearing of the Islamic God versus the Christian God, is that God so far has been doing nothing but loving us to where he died for us. I don't know of any other faith where their God has died for their people. So far, Christianity is the only belief system that I know where the God loves them so much that he wanted to build a relationship with them. And we were listening to a conference last night, and Father Zachariah was part of it, but the man before Father Zachariah, his name is Ghaffar, and he was a Muslim that converted to Christianity, and he has a wonderful book out. And if you would like to read his book, email me at amber@ambermayshow.com, and I will get you in touch with the author, because this is a great tool that we can use to minister to the Muslim people. We have to know what Father Zachariah said last night, that they're going to have barriers up, and we have to get through the barriers before we can share the love of Jesus with them. And this book helps us break down some of the barriers. And I know Father Zachariah probably has other books that he'll recommend, but if you would like that one from a man who converted to Christianity from Islam, email me. But he was showing the love of God, and he was breaking down the ways that man will save themselves. And one way man tries to save himself is good deeds, but good deeds really doesn't get you high enough to get to heaven. The next one is if we sacrificed ourselves, but that's still not good, because that's murder, that's suicide. So that's not a good solution. And animals don't equal humans. When you're going to talk about exchanging an even currency, or even if you're going to exchange life for life, it would have to be even flesh for flesh, not flesh for animal. That symbolized at one time in the Old Testament the saving power of Jesus Christ that was to come, the final Lamb of God. But that was just a symbol, but it's not the perfect exchange, because God had something greater. God had to bring himself in a man, yes, which is an exchange of flesh for flesh. Unfortunately, they don't see it that way. How do they, the Islamic faith, the Muslims, believe that they will reach heaven?
Yeah. They believe that just believing in one God and believing in Muhammad as a messenger of God, they will go to heavens. There is a hadith, a saying of Muhammad. He says that Jibril, that creature who appeared to him, one day said to him, tell your nation that whoever believes in God and in you as a prophet and apostle of God, he will go to heavens. Then Muhammad asked him, even he committed fornication, adultery, or killed? Then the angel said to him, yes, even all.
Wow. It goes against all my teachings I've ever learned, that none of us are good enough. And that's why God had to send his son down to the cross, because we, our sins are like filthy rags, for the wages of sin is death. And none of us, the Bible has clearly said that none of us are worthy of entering into the throne until we have and realize the saving power of Jesus Christ, because his blood covers the sins of everything. And so when I hear that, it's such a contradictory, yet supposedly it's the same God as the Christians. The Christian God clearly said that you can't enter into heaven without a sacrifice. Even in the Old Testament, the Jews believe that.
Yes.
But the Muslims believe that they still can go. And, you know, I see how faulty that Muhammad is, because, for instance, he married a little girl at 7 years old.
Yeah.
And he was in his 50s. Tell us about that story.
Oh, shameful. Muhammad married for the first time a woman called Khadija. She was older than him. She was in the 40s, and he was in the 20 years old. And he lived with her 25 years. He never married anyone else as long as she was living. Just she died, he started to marry many women. He started his women with a young girl, 9 years old, and he was 53 years old.
She was 9 years old when they consecrated the marriage, right?
Yes.
But she was younger when they married, isn't that correct?
When she was 6 years old, he married her, but he did not
consecrate the marriage.
Yes.
Yeah.
She became 9 years old. So his first wife was older than him.
Wow.
And then he started to take one smaller than him, younger than him. You know? I think that's something psychologically.
Yeah, I would say so. And then not only that, but he took his son's wife.
Yeah, Zainab bint Jahsh, and his adopted son, was called Zayd ibn Haritha. He went one day to visit his son-in-law, and they lived in tents,
mm-hmm.
and the tents had no solid doors.
Mm-hmm.
When he went there, he looked through this door, and he found his daughter-in-law semi-naked. He lusted after her and spoke some words as if he says, I lust after you. She told her husband. Her husband went to him and told him, I will divorce her for your sake.
The husband said that?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And he said, no, not now. Hold on. And then he had a verse from his Allah saying, divorce her and took her for your wife, to be your wife. It's verses from Allah of Muhammad.
I was told that this lady came from a really well-to-do family. That she was from a prominent family, was that right?
Zainab bint Jahsh.
Yes.
Yes.
And at first they didn't want Muhammad's son because it was an adopted son, wasn't that right? And
actually, this son was adopted by her, was a slave to his first wife, Khadija.
Oh.
Was a slave. And she gifted Muhammad this slave. Then Muhammad adopted him.
Oh, I see.
And he let him to marry. Shamefully, I'll say to you that this wife of this adopted man was Muhammad's cousin.
Oh.
And he when he told her, you have to marry Zaid, this adopted son, she said, no, I am from a big family and he is a slave. How it comes? Then he brought a verse from his Allah to oblige her to marry this one, this slave. And after that, he got another verse to divorce her from this slave.
Wow.
To marry her.
Sounds like this God of his works miracles in him. All of a sudden, new verses come up, and all of a sudden, his life is better.
Do you know that his young wife, Aisha, where he made something like that and he brings verses as he wants, she said to him, I don't see your Allah, just he is willing to give you what you desire. He has nothing to do but to give you what you desire.
It sounds like he controlled God versus God being in control. That's what it sounds like. And, you know, you told me that there's many verses that commands terrorism. How many in the Quran?
I counted myself. Not in Quran only, but in the Hadith also, sayings of Muhammad. I found 35,213 verses and sayings of Muhammad.
Wow, commanding people to commit terrorist acts.
To commit terrorism, to kill, to slay the others.
I thought it was a peaceful religion.
Peaceful, no, it's a lie, a big lie.
I think so, and you have 3,500 verses saying, kill when the Christian and Jewish God says, thou shalt not murder.
Yeah.
And then this God, which is supposedly the same God, tells you to lie and to murder people.
Yes.
Just like you were telling the story last night about the lady who was a matriarch of her tribe, and she told Muhammad that she wasn't going to believe in him, so he tied her legs to a horse, two different horses, and then had the horses take off and split her in half.
In different
directions.
Directions. And she was cut to pieces. Her name was Qirfa, 120 years old.
That's so terrible.
Yeah.
I know that the Muslims say that Muhammad gave them a miracle of the Quran because it's never been changed. And the reason why they don't believe in the Bible is because it's been corrupted.
Yeah, they say that.
Explain that to us, because I have learned that the Quran has been changed.
Yes.
They're using the version of the Quran, I think, from the 1929 right now. But even when they translated the Quran into English, they made sure it was politically correct. So not everything in there is what is in the actual Quran. And they said they could get away with it again because they can lie, because it's not the holy scriptures, because the holy scriptures are written in Arabic.
Yes.
So because it's not written in Arabic, the heavenly language, they can get away with lying about that.
That's right. But let me be honest. When the translation is different, they say, oh, it's not the inspired language. The language can be translated into this word or that word. It is not corruption. It's translation, a matter of translation. But the original Quran was corrupted, because Muhammad wrote the Bible, or let his people to write the Bible, the Quran, on stones, you know, very huge. And then came the first Khalifa, it's called Abu Bakr Siddiq, and Umar ibn al-Khattab, and they collected this Quran from the stones and wrote it in paper. And then came Uthman ibn Affan, you know. The first versions of Quran were seven Qurans, different Qurans, which they say the letters of Quran, seven. Then Uthman came and burned six of them and kept one only to be the original Quran. But actually, he changed many words and many verses in the Quran.
So really, Muhammad never wrote it. He had people surround him who wrote it.
That's right.
Ah, and again, it was on stones, and then it went on paper, and there was seven different versions of it, and then they all burned them except for one, and then the guy who had the one changed the words.
That's why Muslims killed this Khalifa who changed the Quran. Uthman ibn Affan. Killed him.
Wow. Yeah. Isn't there another book out there? I can't remember the name of it. That also proves that the Quran has been changed.
Yeah, the manuscripts. There is in Samarkand in Turkey. A manuscript. They say this is the Quran of Uthman ibn Affan, the original Quran.
Mm-hmm.
But it differs from the Quran which is with them now.
Which is the one from 1929.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, they say that the Bible's been corrupted. So how can, if we're going to witness to them, and again, we have books, and if you want, we're talking to Father Zachariah right now, and you can find him at fatherzachariah.net, and he has a lot of information on his website about how you can witness to Muslims, because his heart is really to reach the Muslims for Jesus Christ, and it should be our heart's desire too, because they're coming here by the thousands to America. Within 2 years, they're going to double. By 2015, they want to take over the United States and want to, and I'm sure, and put in their laws into action, and that's not going to be very good for the rest of us. So what we really want to do is witness him, because I really truly believe that what Satan means for harm and destruction, God means for good. And he's allowing them to come here because God's desire is for them to become Christians, to learn about his saving love, and not fear converting to Christianity, not fear death and persecution. And us as Americans right now in the land that we're living in, we don't have to fear witnessing to them. And if you want Stolen Truth, it's a book written by a Muslim who converted to Christianity. Let me know. That it breaks it down easy ways how you can, as Father Zachariah said yesterday, break down the barriers so that you can get to the core issues of that. So what do you see happening to America if we don't go out and spread the gospel as the Great Commission instructs us to do?
That's a good question. Yeah. I think that the first thing they will do when they have the upper hand, now because they are weak, they say Islam is peace, Islam is love. But when they have the upper hand, then they will move to the next stage. Because Muhammad has the same stages, two stages. When he was in Mecca, he was weak. He started to speak about Islam as a peaceful religion, a religion of love, you know. But when he went to El Medina, Yathrib, he became a military leader. He depended upon his sword to oblige people to accept Islam as a religion. Because actually his ultimate intention was to establish an Islamic empire.
Mm.
And he took religion as a factor of establishing the state. The same steps Muslims follow. When they are weak in America, they say Islam is peace, is love. But when they have the upper hand, as you said, they are multiplying here. They marry 1, 2, 3, 4 women. One civil marriage, but the other marriages are in the mosque.
So one is the legal marriage, but the rest are the religious ones that are done in the mosque, so it's not on paper.
Yes.
Okay.
And they have many children. And they say, yes, they said that in year 2050, they will become the majority of population. So taking advantage of democracy, they will vote for the Muslims. And they will change the face of America.
And probably enact Sharia law.
Yes.
I know here where I live, just about 2 miles away from my house, a father enacted a holy killing and murdered his daughter by running over her.
Yes.
And their holy killing is because if someone disrespects them in any kind of way or brings dishonor to the family by their faith, they can justly murder that person.
Yes.
And right now, our law does not allow that to happen. But like you said, in 2050, that could easily change.
Yes.
And that's not something we want to live under.
Yep.
And right now, we have this opportunity to witness to them before it can get to that level. And I feel that if we were to make an effort and to reach out to these, our neighbors, because they're all over, they're in every neighborhood, reach out to them because they're very hospitable, very friendly people. When you just talk one-on-one with them, you know, when you come over to their house, they'll give you tea, coffee, food, very nice people. And then once you begin that relationship with them as a friend, then you can introduce them to Jesus Christ by breaking the barriers. But if we don't start now, we can look in the future and not see something very pleasant, because I was told that in parts of England, that Sharia law is legal.
Yes, yes. And some parts is there.
And that is not a good thing.
Yeah, this is a reality of Islam. They come, they pretend that they are peaceful people, and then when they have the upper hand, the picture of 9/11 will be repeated.
And we see that even in the news. If you open your eyes and watch the news, and sometimes it's buried in the stories, but a lot of churches and Christians in Egypt and different countries in the Middle East are being slain. Tell us about the story where the bishop almost was blown up. Tell us about that story.
Yeah. You know that terrorism in Egypt and in Iraq took new tide. Mm-hmm. They started to explore churches. And the lastest one, not the lastest, before the lastest, they exploded the church in Alexandria. And 24 persons were killed. And there are hundreds are sick.
And wounded, yeah.
And in the hospitals. Mm-hmm. But the lastest one, there was another meeting in a church, a big church in Cairo. And the cars were parking there. Muslims came, the terrorists, and put explosive bombs under the car with to be exploded in the time of people who were coming out of the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
This car, fortunately, was belonging to a bishop. And the bishop took his car and went to the monastery far away. He reached the monastery and put the car in the garage, went to his room. After a while, at 7 o'clock, it exploded.
Wow.
In the garage. So it should have been exploded in the church.
Which many people should have died that day.
Yes.
But we were very fortunate that the Bishop A wasn't blown up, and we're very blessed that all those hundreds of people weren't blown up.
Sure.
And so if we want to live like that and practice our Christianity when 2050 happens, then we might be able to expect the same type of persecution, being shot, leaving the church, or being blown up, or being locked in the church and being blown up, or things like that. And that's not what we want to see. And we don't wish that upon anybody. So,
but this is their style.
How can...
In Egypt, in Iraq, in France, in England, they exploded the underground in England. And many things. This is Islam.
It's not
the
right.
The truth of Islam.
Now, when we approach them and start talking about Jesus Christ, one of their barriers is going to be the Bible is corrupted. How do we explain to them that the Bible is not corrupted?
Yeah. They have four verses in the Quran speaking about changing the Torah.
What's that?
Torah means the Torah.
The books. Oh, the Torah. Okay. Torah. Yes.
Yeah. In Arabic Torah.
Yeah.
So, there are four verses only. But there is nothing telling that the New Testament is a change or corrupted. You know, they accuse the Old Testament to be changed. But when I read these four verses, I found that they are not speaking about changing the words of God. But they are speaking about the interpretation of the words of God.
Okay.
That they change the interpretation.
Oh.
So the four verses did not speak about changing the words of God, inspired words of God. But the Jews changed the interpretation of these words, which is nothing. That does not mean that the inspiration is wrong and corrupted.
Well, here, while we're talking about God speaking to the Jews, Muslims believe that the only language God speaks is Arabic. And that's why the Quran is written in Arabic, and the Jews didn't speak Arabic at this time, so how did God speak to them?
You know that Muslims are liars. And they say that God speaks Arabic, and the language of heavens is Arabic. That's why the inspiration was in Arabic. But simply I ask them, you believe that God inspired his word to Moses and the Old Testament prophets.
Right.
And it was in Hebrew, not in Arabic. What's your answer? No answer.
You couldn't answer that. So after those four verses, how else do you explain to people in the Islamic faith that the Bible isn't corrupted?
Because we show them that the verse is speaking about the interpretation, not about the inspired words. So there is no corruption, you know, at all. And the New Testament, there is no verse in the Quran says that the New Testament was corrupted at all, you know. But when I went back to the interpretation of the Muslim leaders for these four verses in the Quran about the corruption, they said that no one can change the inspired word of God. But the Quran says that some of the Jews misunderstood the words of God and misinterpreted them. So that's why. And the second thing they said, Muhammad accused the Jews to change the meaning of the inspired word because they told this story. Two two Jews, man and the woman, committed adultery and adultery. And they were people of honor. The Jews in Arabia did not want them to be killed, stoned, as the Sharia says,
mm-hmm.
as the law mm-hmm. say in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, we will send them to Muhammad and see what he will say about them. Send them to Muhammad, and Muhammad said, what does your law in the Old Testament say to do with those committing adultery? The story says that one of the rabbi put his hand on the verse that they should be stoned. Hide it. They wanted Muhammad to say, don't stone them. And when Muhammad asked about the word of God, they hide it. That's why Muhammad said, you change the word of God.
Ah. And last night you were talking about the Trinity and how you explain the Trinity to the Muslim people, and I found it fascinating.
Yes.
Because they believe that Christians, they think Christians believe in three gods, but right. Christians believe in one God, but yes. manifests himself in three ways.
Yes.
Which is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And Jesus was the Son who descended from heaven and was Emmanuel, God with us, who was the ultimate sacrifice yes. for our sins. So how do you explain the Trinity to the Islamic faith, to Muslims?
Yeah, I found it is very simple, because when I read the Quran, studied it, I found a verse in Book of Women, verse 171, which says, Isa, Christ, they say Isa, not Jesus.
Right, Isa, okay.
Isa is the prophet of God. He is his word, and he is his spirit.
Wow. So they yes. explain a Trinity right there.
Oh, yes, sure. And I say to them that God is a being.
Mm-hmm.
A being has true existence. It's not like love. There is no existence of love. Love is a word about...
it's a description of someone's feelings.
But God is not a description. God is a person, a being, and the being should be alive, has a spirit, lest he should be dead, has spirit, and the spirit is the same of that being, his spirit, and also this being should have a mind,
mm-hmm.
lest he should be an animal.
Right.
So, a human being has a true existence.
Right.
Has spirit.
Yep.
Has a mind.
Yep.
And he is one man.
That's right. That's
so
right.
So God is a being.
That's right.
Yes.
So this is just a couple of ways that we can go through the gates and tear down the gates that separate us to where we can get to a point to share that Jesus died for them.
Yeah.
Because love is what it's all about, that God loved us so much that he sent his son. There's so much we can get into with Father Zachariah. And if you'd like to learn more about him, you can visit him at fatherzachariah.net. And be out, look for his television show that will be coming out again very soon, God willing.
Amen.
So look out for that. Again, if you want to find out more about the Stolen Truth, a Muslim who converted to Christianity and shows us very easy ways that we can witness to our Muslim neighbor, which is very important, as Father Zachariah explained to us, email me at amber@ambermayshow.com. Check me out on the web at ambermayshow.com. Well, thank you, Father Zachariah, for being on the program with us. It was such a blessing having you. And we appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
And remember, instead of thinking about number one, just yourself, look out for number two, somebody else. Because eventually, number two will look out for you. The Amber May Show is a paid affiliate of Petco.com.